You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by Ken Gernick, covers the Dodgers for MLB.com, and he is currently in Arizona with the team. And Ken, we have to start with Kenley Jansen. Sometimes in this sport, we tend to get a little bit caught up in how things affect the team in terms of wins and losses when it comes to an injury, but we also don't really think about the health issues that can come along with this. So Jansen actually received some very good news in that the growth on his left foot that had to be removed was nothing life-threatening. And that's a very good thing. And that's probably the first thing that everybody should be talking about at this point, and not so much that he's going to be out 2 to 3 months, but that it was benign.
Right. You know, the Dodgers kind of downplayed it. They didn't want to be alarmist about it, but when it showed up on the X-ray, they were worried. Everybody was worried. The MRI revealed that it was not what they first feared, and that it could be removed, and he'd be able to resume his career. And that's the way they're going. So while from a baseball standpoint, it's bad that he's going to miss 2 to 3 months. Could have been a lot worse. So he at least breathed a sigh of relief that it wasn't worse. Already is, and he's already in camp, and he's beginning to work out. He had the cast taken off today, boots put on, and he'll start doing some throwing motions probably by the week, so that he'll have less rehab to go through once he's finally able to put weight on that foot.
So when you say 2 to 3 months, I mean, is that including, like, I mean, there's probably going to be a minor league rehab assignment. Is that like the whole total thing as far as like when he come back, it would be actually being back on the Dodgers roster?
That's the way they described it to us.
Okay.
2 to 3 months, he'll be back on the team in games.
And so I know that, and I follow everything that you're writing every single day, and I haven't seen any updates on this. This is probably still the same, but the club feels that it'll look internally for a replacement. There's a couple guys that are still out there sort of floating around, and Francisco Rodriguez, Rafael Soriano. But the more likely scenario for the Dodgers is just to kind of try to bridge the gap while he's gone and look internally to what they already have.
Yeah, that's their plan right now. They've got a lot of arms. They have a lot of closers, but they have a lot of arms, and they continue to collect them. Earlier today, they confirmed the signing of Duncan McGowan, the free agent who was with Toronto, and was pitching better in relief than he did there starting the season in the rotation. So they've got quite a few contenders now for the back end of the bullpen. And again, none of them are really considered to be anywhere near Kenley Jansen's class as a closer. But a lot of them have high upside, is the way the Dodgers are describing it. Most of them throw hard. Gowan would be one of those. They got Juan Nicasio. Joel Peralta is going to probably be a seventh inning pitcher for them. They've got Pedro Baez coming back from last year, Brandon Lee coming back from last year. They went out and traded for Chris Hatcher. So they've got quite a few, and they even have a couple non-roster pitchers who have done closing in the past. Sergio Santos and David Ardsmith. So they feel they have enough, but I guess you really never have enough. So their goal is to try to patch things together until Ken comes back, and I guess if they find out that doesn't work, they always could go out and get somebody. But they feel that Jansen will be a short-term loss, and they don't want to lock into a full-year contract at a high salary for a proven closer if they're going to get him back by May.
Does it ever surprise you that so few times is a quote-unquote bullpen by committee? And I'm not talking so much in this scenario, but just like you've heard other teams over the years, very few, but some have tried it. We don't really have a specific closer, but, you know, bullpen by committee kind of thing. And you'd think that it wouldn't be that hard to get three outs, but there is something about the ninth inning that makes it where not that many guys can actually be successful in that role. Does that ever just surprise you that it seems to be that kind of like an arduous task to figure it out?
Well, I think it is surprising, but you know, really, you've got it from two different angles. You've got the player who might lose confidence when he gives up a game. And then you've got the manager who might lose confidence in the player when he gives up a game. So I think you kind of focus it in on one pitcher when you feel like confident you can give him the ball and you're going to come out with a win. And so I think from a managerial standpoint, it's a lot easier and a lot simpler just to have one guy do it. But there is a mentality about that ninth inning, even though it should be the same three outs as the sixth inning. It doesn't seem to be for a lot of the pitchers. A lot of them just aren't suited for that kind of pressure, and then the successful ones obviously are.
Zach Greinke has some interesting comments. I guess we know now that he will not be deciding whether to opt out of his contract until the end of the season, so that seems to be tabled for now. But very interesting, some of his comments that he made about, you know, you really can't trust front offices. They sign you, and then they trade you, and so you really have to watch your back. It's kind of been refreshing, kind of, you know, from a reporter standpoint to hear him be so candid. What did you think of his comments when he addressed all of that?
Well, I think within the context of the fact that he signed a long-term contract with Kansas City years back, and was told that they intended to do certain things with the team, and then over the course of several years, their direction changed. And so what he was saying is the reason for the opt-out that he asked for in his contract, although it also provides a financial benefit to the player, but it also gives them flexibility that if for whatever reason the team gets off track, and, you know, you're talking about a team, the Dodgers, that was in bankruptcy a few years ago and definitely got off track. It gives the player the ability to change teams when he doesn't like what's happening with this team. Greinke was equally candid about the fact that it all benefits the player. Those opt-out clauses are not good in any way for the team, but they're good in several ways for the player, and he was honest about that, too.
And regarding behind the plate, so there's two catchers that appear to be sort of headed for maybe equal time with Grandal, maybe getting a little bit more of it. A.J. Ellis will not be the personal catcher for Clayton Kershaw. There's a lot that's made out of their friendship and their rapport. Obviously, they have been together for very important games and have, you know, quite a close relationship. But they need a little bit more flexibility. Ellis is a better hitter against left-handed pitchers, Grandal against right-handed pitchers, so they really don't want to lock themselves into, like, personal catchers this year. And it seems like a pretty logical decision. What did you make of that?
Well, it sounds good right now. I would imagine if Kershaw has a couple bad starts throwing to Grandal, you'll suddenly see A.J. Ellis back there more often. They obviously have a good relationship, a rapport. They've been together for years and years, and all hasn't. I'm guessing, though, that Mattingly, and it's not, he's honest about it. He doesn't want to box himself into where he has to start a certain catcher regardless of who the opposing pitcher is, when it might be a really bad matchup. But I'm gonna guess that Ellis will probably catch Kershaw most of the time. And there'll be four other starting pitchers that Grandal can catch regularly. Grandal, being a switch hitter, probably will get more playing time than Ellis. You know, Ellis showed last year he was hurt. He didn't hit well at all until the playoffs, and then he hit real well. So, you know, maybe it was because he was hurt. So he's got a lot to prove. So if I'm guessing that he's going to up his game a little bit this year, and it may not be a 50-50 split, but you know, it could be 60-40. I don't think you're going to see Grandal catching 130 games.
No. And these are things that you can work out during spring training, so that's why it's as long as it is. It gives a lot of answers to a lot of questions that may not be answered right now, but opening day is quite a bit away. So, Ken, thank you so much, and we will check in with you next week.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.